WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
This is Eric Bischoff.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho.
This is Booker T, five-time WCW champ.
Hi, everybody. This is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer. And you're tuned in to the, what was it?
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
My man, gather around.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Whose reputation for clarity and truth had become a symbol of hope.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
8 o'clock. It's 8 o'clock, isn't it?
With your hosts, Ken Stein.
Chief architect of this intended revolution and author of this insidious plot.
The Omega.
Frankly, I've never been able to understand violence in any form.
Heartbreak Mike.
He has black hair, blue eyes, doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, and tells the truth.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
I sort of have a problem seeing to live.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Any questions, class?
And on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
Oh, that's interesting.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is Matt Hardy.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Bob.
This is the Masterpiece, Chris Masters.
If you don't tune in each and every week to WrestleTalk Radio, Matt Hardy.
WTR Sunday night.
I was thinking maybe we could go for a hamburger.
Money. Money, 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 money.
Oh, I make the reference last night and I'm trash. You get to make it tonight. Oh, you're all so clever. Welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I resent you.
No, I'm going off a message. Hey, intro song. Guess who's back? Back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend.
Okay.
I was asked to play it.
Sure you were. Sure, likely story. So, clearly, by the song playing, we're talking Money in the Bank. 2018, the WWE pay-per-view just wrapped up. We have thoughts, we have opinions, let's get to them. This is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of our network. Joining me tonight, Heartbreak Mike.
What's up, everybody? Heartbreak Mike here. I'm actually glad that we enjoyed this edition of Judgment Day. Wait.
I mean, that's a little harsh, dude. That's harsh.
I mean, you know, we've had a lot of okays, we've had a lot of finishes, and then a couple of matches where I just didn't care. So, this is Judgment Day.
It's a usual WWE pay-per-view.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I think that's it, unless...
Now we're here. We're live at Russell Talk Radio on a Sunday night. Money in the Bank.
Same crew as last couple weeks.
We're holding it down strong, like nobody's business. I mean, we're here. We're streaming live on TuneIn Radio. Also search Wild Talk Radio Network. You can get us on Twitch, twitch.tv/WTR Live. We're everywhere. I mean... I mean, that's it, right? We're good?
I think so.
Yeah. All right. So, let's talk about that,
everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's back. For everyone who lost their Deathpool, I'm sorry, but the one and only Tim Stein is here, and he's doing fine again.
Well, I'm here. I don't.
I'm going to say it's fine. Wouldn't go that far.
And to Matt in the chat, no, the Stampeders game was last night. It was the season opener, and the Stampeders absolutely kicked ass, like they always do. They won, so that's all good. Just thought I'd, you know, throw that out there because he was asking a question in the chat room. Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome to a Money in Bank edition of WTR Sunday night right here live on the Wild Talk Radio Network, www.wildtalkradio.com. I'd say where we're streaming besides the website, but Jackass, I mean, the producer already did.
Yeah, I can mention all the things.
Yeah, so we all watched December to Remember tonight.
Show is called December to Dismember, so if you're going to make the joke, make it correct.
Yeah, well, I did it wrong on purpose. I mean, like, grab a brain.
I have one. That's why I use it.
Then turn it on and use it. Oh, my God.
I use it all the time.
So that was a underwhelming in total offering by WWE tonight, you guys.
I wouldn't say underwhelming.
Yeah, I am definitively whelmed right now.
There was, okay, the first hour really wasn't that great. Once you eliminate that, and then you skip like 30 minutes in the middle, then you're good.
So three matches were worth it.
No, there's...
That is exactly correct.
No.
Thank you very much for backing me up, Mike, and the points that I've been trying to make. Yeah, okay. Can we all at least agree we were not overwhelmed?
I would say half the show delivered. Half the show?
About half the show kind of delivered, but.
Three out of seven ain't bad.
Okay, yeah. 3 out of 7 ain't bad, and in today's society in school, they'll pass you with 3 out of 7.
Say 5 out of 9, and then you go count the pre-show. Pre-show is alright.
See, the problem is the good half of the show, I don't think it carried the bad half of the show.
But here's the thing. In the what was we're considering the bad half had some really good workers in it. And it just sort of was, eh. Okay, let's get this all underway. Pre-show is Bludgeon Brothers versus Gallows and Anderson. Gallows looked the best he's looked in forever in this matchup. He looked great. There was an awesome double drop kick by the Bludgeons at one point. They countered the Magic Killer to get into the double team powerbomb for the Bludgeons to retain. That was cool. Good finish. Solid match. Gallows was really strong.
I think this is the best outing for both teams in a while.
Because they got to work. Like, here's the thing. Gallows got to meet up against someone his own size. Luke got to meet up against someone his own size. So it meshed very well.
Yeah. And this is one of the harder fought Bludgeon Brother matches. This was not the squash that they've been used to.
No, they weren't just beating on the Usos or the New Day. This was a competitive match and it dug in. Anyone else have thoughts?
I am not capable of having any thoughts about the match because I was still at work.
Okay, mark tape right here. Booker T had a good line on the pre-show.
No.
I am wishing I had caught this. You told me about it.
He took a shot at CM Punk. It was tremendous. Well done, Booker. That'll be the last time I ever praise anything he says. Shucky ducky. Quack, quack, quack.
I missed it. I have to go back and listen to it now.
Oh, what the hell was the line? I sent it to Tim. Hold on. But yep, we get into
scroll up.
Yeah, we go into the main show, though. Daniel Bryan, Big Cass. This is the way I describe the match to Tim. Big Cass, broomstick. Daniel Bryan, awesome. Is there
and my retort was Daniel Bryan clinic as usual.
Your thing's breaking up, Tim.
Tim, either your microphone's screwing up or you're making popcorn.
Both, actually. Extra butter.
Extra butter.
Yep.
Going into this match, Big Cass's line, they kept putting it in the promo package, was, on any given night, a good big man will always beat a good little man. And he's right.
Yeah.
Which is why Daniel won.
Yeah, he wasn't against a good big man.
The Booker line was, CM Punk got the brakes beat off of him. Well done. In that very building. So it was like, yep. Anyway. Again, Brian worked hard. Big Cass tried. Tim likes the heel hook. Right, Tim? That was a segue for Tim to say something.
Yes, that was a nice submission by Daniel. I enjoyed that heel hook. A bit of a hybrid of 3 different moves, but it worked.
Yeah.
It's Daniel Bryan. I like any time they let a submission wrestler break out submissions and victories without going to just their main one.
Yeah, well, there are three types of submission moves. Submission moves that look good and don't hurt. Submission moves STFU. That look really bad and do hurt.
Anything anyone else does but John Cena.
And submission moves that look good and do hurt. This one looks good and it looks like it could hurt.
Any move done by Daniel Bryan?
Yeah. I'm gonna say category four is seen as STF, which is doesn't look like it hurts and doesn't look good.
And keep telling yourself that.
It looks like he's spooning with the person.
Keep telling yourself that.
Nikki Bella does his move better.
Well, there's the thing. You know, the STF would probably look quite deadly if it wasn't John Cena applying it. I think that's what you're alluding to, Mike.
Bingo.
Yep. The STF can be a very formidable weapon in the arsenal of a submission wrestler if the guy who's applying it knows what the fuck he's doing. John Cena? Sorry.
So can we say this should be the end of the Big Cass experiment as a top tier... Top
please.
Don't even stop.
I will continue to say it. He's the one thing that was better with Enzo Amore.
He needs a tag partner. That's where he fits.
You know,
he needs a small guy.
Yeah, Omega, you're not wrong, but that is such a nasty thing to have to say.
I know. I don't feel right. I feel like, dirty saying but...
Yeah, I can tell that you feel greasy. Right now,
but I feel like 15% Enzo just saying it, but it's true.
God, well, you know, okay, I was about to make a really, but no, it's too soon. Never mind.
I hope someone caught that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Daniel Bryan won this match.
Super insider just for Omega.
Yep. Kevin Owens brought New Day pancakes and syrup.
Oh, the best Canadian maple syrup he could find.
Of course.
Probably got it in Vermont.
But then no one admits he doesn't like pancakes or any type of breakfast food, including cereal, including Bootios. And they got mad at him.
Kevin Owens is no friend of mine.
Now, let's look at him. That is a physique that enjoys Pop-Tarts. Just is, I'm sorry.
Pillsbury Toaster Strudel.
Oh, don't use strudel me.
Phrasing. Bobby Lashley took on Sami Zayn in our next contest. Sami stalled. Bobby dominated. Bobby wins.
That's the long and short of it, isn't it?
Essentially, this match was so boring I forgot about it. During the match, never mind immediately after the end of it.
Said it felt like a pre-show match.
The sad thing is, this is the match that this feud deserved.
Honestly, it went too long.
Yeah.
That should have ended in 30 seconds. Bobby should have came out, kicked his ass in 30 seconds. Because that would have been fitting for the way he's been trash-talking for the last 4 weeks.
The only thing I don't like is the cocky pin. Just the one hand on. Like, okay, I get you beat the ever-living piss out of Sami Zayn. It's such a way of devaluing somebody.
It is. But that's what they're going with him.
It's not right. That's a heel move.
It is. Bobby's no heel.
No, not with that smile.
He's a smiling babe face.
That all he's got.
Who does not look 42 years old. Anything to add, Mike?
I got nothing. What the
Anyway, moving on. Intercontinental Championship is on the line. Seth Rollins versus Elias. Show started to pick up a little bit. They worked a good match. Seth Rollins sold a lot. His knee, his neck.
Then Elias is over his shit.
He is very over. They worked pretty well together. They had some good spots. They worked, you know, it was a solid matchup. Finish was good. Rollins went for the turnbuckle powerbomb. His knee gave out. Elias went for the drift away. Countered into, there was a couple roll-up attempts. Rollins had the tights. Rollins wins. Probably feud continues.
This was really... Well, it surprised the fuck out of me because Elias really gave it. This is by far one of his best matches, if not probably the only match that I consider. When my favorite part in that whole entire match was when he went for the outside dive, and I literally was like, yo, Elias can do this. This kind of proved, okay, not only is he over, but he can actually wrestle. I really think that with this going on, I really hope that they continue this because, yeah, tights, belt strap, Elias ain't going to be happy.
Yeah, it's the kind of finish that definitely leads to another match because it's not decisive. He had leverage advantage on the pin, and it's just not the way a feud ends. God, Elias has come so far. Like, I genuinely thought he didn't do enough in NXT to warrant a call-up. I didn't expect him to take off on the main roster.
Just like this.
Oh my God, he's improving so fast.
Not only that, he's over enough with the crowd that at some point in time, they've got to think about a face turn for him.
I've never seen someone go from just like completely who the hell is this to over as hell as fast as Elias has.
We talk about a lot about Vince McMahon's faults. You look at the Elias project and you know he has a big part in it. This is why Vince is so good.
I mean, okay, we admit that Vince is hit and miss.
When he's on his game, he's untouchable.
I mean, Vince is the one who saw potential in Braun. We thought he's just pushing another big man. No, there's something special in Braun. There actually is someone who can be a top talent. And now we see the same thing with Elias. You know, this is one of Vince's pet projects. Okay, bravo to you. He's proving himself worthy.
You can tell it's just the little things, you know, Vince would know and Vince... how Vince would have them portray it, and he's doing it really well because one thing Vince has always been good at is getting someone to get heat, and he knows it with Elias. Yeah.
It's how well Elias works the crowd, how good the catchphrases are for him, how he's so good at pulling you in when JoJo says, "Ladies and gentlemen, Elias," and that turn as he just starts mocking and insulting the crowd. Like, he betrayed me. Oh, he suckered me. Son of a... It works.
What he does makes you, after you cheered for him, chuckle and call him a prick under your breath while you're chuckling.
Yeah, like, he's the kind of heel that, like, okay, I have to respect you for how much you're making me hate you.
Yep.
So, Seth Rollins is still your Intercontinental Champion.
TikTok, how much longer?
I really think Elias deserves that belt at this point. He's proven it.
Is Seth ready to move on?
To what?
That's the problem.
There's nothing else to go for right now.
At this point in time, I mean, and we'll get to the winner of the Money in the Bank men's side later on tonight. That, yeah, you know, the obvious enough, you should have seen it a mile away, even though that's not what I called for my pick'em predictions. By the way, don't use the French computer voice ever again when you're substituting me. Oh, my God.
Best voice ever.
Daniel Brion. What the fuck was that?
Works so well.
Do you still have that?
No, I can't right now, no.
Berastamon.
So
what?
Anyway, Money in the Bank women's style. It is Natalya, Becky Lynch, Ember Moon, Charlotte Flair, Sasha Banks, Lana, Naomi, and Alexa Bliss. Holy hell, this was great.
Yeah!
This is actually miles better than last year.
Everybody, because, yeah.
No James Ellsworth.
Hold that.
Yet. No, this was my match of the night. This was phenomenal.
Without a doubt.
Everybody got some. Everybody got a ladder shot. Everybody was on a ladder. Everybody got some.
No one was scared. Power bombs on the ladder, big dives, everything Naomi was doing.
Naomi and Ember were very athletic in this match.
Oh.
There was such great dynamic between Charlotte and Becky in this matchup. Their friendship, you knew it. With all the teases, it was great. There was a lot of, all around. Hell, Lana looked pretty good in this matchup.
Yeah, just please, somebody tell her to quit dancing to the ring.
I thought for one second that she was going to do it. Who was it that, her and Alexa, they hit the spot. And then she was like, look, I don't have time for you anymore. This is what we're going to do. I'm just going to slap the shit out of you. And then Lana going up there. Now, this one had a lot of false finishes that had me like, no.
They kept you on the edge of the seat. They told a fantastic story. Everyone was believable to win this matchup. Everyone had a shot.
The ones that actually went grabbing for the cage, you were sure that that was it. And then, you know, boom.
And the crowd was behind Becky Lynch at the end. She was ready to get it. Redemption for last year. until she gets shoved off by Alexa. And Alexa climbs up, gets the briefcase, and is Miss Money in the Bank.
And that disappointed the living hell out of me until the rest of the pay-per-view played out. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I'm tired of Alexa. That's, you know, your story's been told. Move on. It's time for something different.
That was my initial thought.
Go ahead.
Later on, where, spoiler alert, we're reminded of how many times Alexa's won the belt already. She does feel like she's been spotlighted a long time. I would have loved to have seen this go to someone, you know, like Becky, who has been neglected for way too long, or Naomi, who's worked so hard to improve herself.
I picked Ember Moon.
I'm not even mad. The match was so good.
The only finish I would have been mad at was if Charlotte won it.
Charlotte absolutely does not need it for any reason.
But you got people like Ember. She's going to be fine in the division because she'll get her title shots at some point, probably at the end of the year, where she's in the position to get them. She's just on the roster, so it's like she has time to get them. On SmackDown, with the way things are playing out, Becky's going to be in a good position. So will Naomi. They'll be in good positions just based on that. So it's like, Alexa winning, it's fine, especially with what happened later. It worked. Now I'm going to mention something. Kurt Angle is backstage talking with Paige. And he's talking about, oh my god, these dual brand pay-per-views are so awesome. And I can hang out with my friends, Samoa Joe and AJ Styles.
That kind of pissed me off just a little bit.
You mean all your...
All your TNA friends?
All your TNA friends, all your buddies.
Well, to be fair, Kurt is the one who had the balls to drop the TNA name on WWE Raw.
Oh, yeah.
Like, absolutely.
That's still one of my favorite moments of the year.
By the way, it is very surreal watching WWE 24 right now and them showing the final deletion and all that stuff.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I was just going to referencing you talking about Kirk mentioning his TNA buddies in the back. I'm still chuckling over the fact that he actually did that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good. Like, just WWE just, like, acknowledging, I guess because it's Impact and it's under a different ownership, that, like, the TNA part of it is free game. Like,
pretty much, like, dead now.
Yeah, like, I have to watch the Bruce Pritchard broadcast where they're bringing up.
They talked all storylines. That's the only time I've listened to that thing, and they talked all TNA all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Footing. Yeah, I gotta hear that.
They talk Claire Lynch.
That's ballsy.
they spent a good 5-6 minutes on Claire Lynch.
Wow.
Anyway, so the other part of that backstage segment, because this is a segue for Tim, Baldin Corbin.
Baldin Constable Corbin. Is that what it is?
The Constable Baron Corbin.
God, Baldin Corbin is what I said. What I called him. Yeah. This is the first time I've seen him with this head shaved.
I hate the length that he has it, like that, like beard stubble length, because he looks like Homer Simpson's head upside down.
Stop.
Don't.
So we then move on. Tim, tell us about Jinder Mahal and Roman Reigns.
This is the match where 95% of the people watching the pay-per-view got up, used the facilities, and it's a proven fact because if you look at the utilities website of your local city, water usage increased highly.
Sure was. That's what I did.
Here's the thing. Neither one of these guys are really bad wrestlers. It's just that they are so unaccepted that this match is doomed to failure right from the outset before they even had a chance to prove how bad it was going to be.
And they knew that nobody was going to watch it. Hey, guys, we're putting this in the middle of the pay-per-view.
It was an average match made really bad by the crowd reaction, in my opinion. I mean, the crowd, the fan reaction to this match just dropped it down for me.
Fuck this crowd.
Well, it's Chicago. What do you want?
Class.
Like I said, it's Chicago. He said alienating 2.5 million people.
I don't like Reigns' wrestling style. I don't like Jinder Mahal's anything. I have respect for anyone who goes out there and puts their body on the line just to amuse me for a little while. You know, that is their long-term health that they are putting on the line just to entertain me for 15 minutes. Whether they're succeeding or not, I respect that.
The fact of the matter is, what you're saying is they're trying for you.
Yeah.
No.
So it was like, your aunt that you never see got you a sweater for Christmas, even though you live in Florida.
And you'll never wear that sweater.
Not that that's ever happened to me.
How many sweaters do you own now, Omega?
My point is.
I would say a dozen. Anyway.
Wash right over.
They are trying their best. They're trying their best. They're doing, you don't have to be fucking dicks about it.
Now, I'll say this about the crowd. If they did not do a chin lock spot for like 4 minutes or give them the opportunity to actually chant and actually did a high impact action to get the crowd into the matchup, maybe we wouldn't have had half the chance. Maybe some of the booking would have helped if you laid out the match properly, because that was the problem with the Samoa Joe match. They laid in a headlock for a long time just to give the crowd an opportunity to just chant. Do something to get their attention.
This match, yeah, you should don't give these guys any rest holds. No chain wrestling for these guys. None of that crap. Just beat the crap out of each other. Just hit spot, go home.
Crowd won't crap on the matches badly if you're not giving them the chance to. Because the fans react. When they did some big spots, they actually reacted to them.
Yep. See, here's the thing. There are wrestlers currently and historically who can do a 5 or a 10 minute rest hold, and that is used to give the crowd enough time to catch the breath after a whole bunch of action. You want some examples? Bret Hart, Mr. Perfect, Shawn Michaels. I can keep going.
Typically, holds like that are supposed to put someone in peril so the crowd cheers for them and gets them back into it. You're supposed to see them like trying to fight through it and try and will the crowd to root for them. Roman isn't capable of that.
Nope.
Roman could be actively throwing money to the crowd to get that to happen, and it won't happen.
Roman needs to be a smaller version of Braun Strowman, a wrecking ball.
Pass.
If they want to get, you know, maybe not get him over, but get him through.
Because when he does that, when he does his spots, with the destruction spots, people pop.
Yeah, they do. Exactly. And they've nailed it with Braun. But the thing is, Braun, even though he's a big guy and he's a wrecking ball, you know, Mr. Path of Destruction, Monster Among Men, whatever the hell you want to call him, he actually works very well for a big man. And to tell you the truth, I think that he's a slightly better worker than Roman.
And he's improving week in, week out.
Every time he goes out there, he's a little bit better. Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with that at all.
You see the growth in him, and you've seen Roman just sort of stagnate at this point. Braun's growing.
What they need
Roman,
to do
Roman
is
Roman has been put in that little golden pedestal for so long. I don't think he feels the need to grow. Just go out there and do the same old routine, and he knows his spot is perfectly safe. He doesn't have to do anything impressive. He doesn't have to expand.
He already realizes this is the line he's given. It's like, aren't I already a heel? No. Well,
let me ask you guys this. Why is Brock Lesnar so over?
Mayhem, destruction, and believability.
Why is Braun Strowman so over?
Mayhem, destruction, believability.
What happens if you do that with Roman?
It would get him over.
There you go. WWE, pay attention for Christ's sakes.
But here's the thing. You just don't believe it with Roman. You don't believe it.
But the system's working against him, Rock.
So shocked.
By giving him 3 championship matches.
All right. And he's already, you know, the corporate line. I'm getting the booze already. Why change anything?
Yeah.
Because be something different than just a plain gray guy. Be a color. Be something that stands out amongst the crowd. Don't be boring gray.
Good luck
he's
with
not
that.
Even a color. He's clear.
Well, I was referencing what he called him, like gray.
He's translucent.
Yeah.
He's see-through.
Ew.
Yeah. Ironically enough, I can't see him.
Yeah, John Cena's not the one who should be saying that.
So, moving on from that, SmackDown Women's Championships on the line, Asuka versus Carmella.
Oh my god, don't even start with me on this one.
I feel bad. I didn't see all of it.
Carmella's selling has improved. I enjoy when she screams in pain when Asuka's going for her. It's amazing.
Man, you're going to wind up in the newspaper one of these days. Somebody's going to complain.
Oh, it is great. Her selling of Asuka's moveset is tremendous. she has improved. Asuka and Carmella really worked well together in this matchup.
Asuka made Carmella look good. Asuka made, you made the point to me, Rock. You said that Carmella hanging with Asuka. I countered with Asuka letting Carmella hang with her.
Which is what you want.
Asuka made her look believable.
That was her job tonight. She made her look like a credible champion. And that's
and
what she
should get paid time and a half because she did it.
And then, out of nowhere.
Bullshit!
A random Asuka appears on the apron. We have a schoolboy, 1-2 kick out. Asuka's still confused by this random Asuka. The mask comes off. No chins. James Ellsworth, not in China. He is in Chicago. Kick to the back of the head. Carmella is still the SmackDown Live Women's Champion.
The last person I wanted to see back on my TV.
Yeah.
But fuck, it was a good story, the entire match, even the ending. I hate to admit it, but it was.
And guess what? Go ahead, Micah.
It's terrible because it's literally the only way I can see Carmella beating Asuka. You need some trick. You need some swerve in order to actually make it so that she can beat Asuka.
Heel tactic.
And really with her history, and like, it's not like she has any friends to do it for her. Like, might as well bring the human puppy.
That was the perfect finish. That was the right finish. Asuka didn't need the belt yet.
Yeah. It was pretty much just about the only finish that's going to make you believe Carmella's going to win.
So Carmella's still SmackDown Live Women's Champion here. So we've recapped Money in the Bank on WTR Sunday night. We now get to the WWE Championship. Last man standing. AJ Styles. Shinsuke Nakamura.
Let me know when this match actually starts, okay?
One, two, so much counting.
Four kids and none of them got their father a cup for Father's Day.
Okay. The last 10, 15 minutes of this matchup was really good, but it took a long way to get there. A long way.
Yeah. Like, you could tell they wanted to ramp it up as the match went on, but they took their time.
And it's not even taking their time. It was the counting. Like, early, you slowed that pace down really so much early on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they could have given us some leeway with the counting, let them continue fighting, but, oh, it's a move, he's on the ground. One, two, that's what hurts.
He's down longer than 3 seconds, you gotta do the count. Thing is, right. they started doing that too early in the match.
They did it too fast.
Here's the weird thing, is that later in the match, I noticed spots where they didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I saw after AJ just kicked Shinsuke in the nuts outside, Shinsuke's on his ass a good 10 seconds, ref is just staring at him.
Just looking at him. AJ gave him the Bobby Hill. That was so fucking amazing. Is this done completely? I don't know.
What do you mean done completely?
Like the feud. I don't think this
it has to be.
It's over.
It's over.
We'll see.
You can't go back to the... You've done, what, 5 matches now?
WWE has a way of prolonging a lot of stuff.
That moment when you realize that you will never win the WWE title.
Never say never. Yeah.
This has been going since after Royal Rumble.
The first match? The greatest Royal Rumble, yeah.
No, WrestleMania was the first.
Actual Royal Rumble where Shinsuke won.
Yeah, they built it from there. They wrestled at WrestleMania, the greatest Royal Rumble backlash. They wrestled on SmackDown where they actually had a clean finish. And now Last Man Standing.
Well, they're building up for Okada to come to town.
Jesus.
Sorry. Okay.
I enjoyed this match more the longer it went, I have to admit it.
It did go a little bit long.
But they could have cut out 10 minutes of this match.
Yeah, they could have.
It would have been great.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Tim.
No, I was just about to apologize to you because you weren't done talking yet.
It could have been 10 minutes long. It could have been 10 minutes shorter. Now, I'm going to have to ask promoter / booker over here, Mr. Tim Stein.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that these two, with those 10 minutes, they were just being spot monkeys?
Last Man Standing match, that's a little bit of a loaded question, Mike. Last Man Standing match, you got to be a bit of a spot monkey as the match progresses. I would have booked it differently. I would have booked a lot fewer standing counts mm-hmm. at the first half of the match.
Mm-hmm.
and let them tell them, hey, wear each other out. I mean, if you get knocked down, do everything you can to get up before the ref starts counting.
Right. Now, the problem with it is that, okay, cool. You know who AJ Styles is. You know who Shinsuke Nakamura is.
Let them go.
Right. And me and Omega are sitting here twiddling our thumbs and like, this is not their final form. This is not their final form.
But it is.
In WWE's world,
in WWE,
yes.
WWE, yes. Yeah.
This is, I honestly think that this is kind of as far as they go when it comes to letting him go loose. If Triple H started, you know, if they went, you know, down there, then we would see what they can do.
I disagree because Shinsuke's not that guy anymore.
There are some people that listen to us that also watch New Japan and have watched New Japan and know what these two guys could do if you let them off the chain. WWE has a certain type of product that is totally different, and you don't let these guys, if you're WWE, you don't let them off that chain. You give them some rope, but not so much that they're going to hang themselves with it.
But they've let AJ off that chain. He can deliver. It doesn't feel like Shinsuke can deliver that point anymore because he's 4 years older from when he was in New Japan. He's a lot more injured than he was in New Japan.
Yeah.
It may be Shinsuke can't do that match anymore.
Maybe not. It's quite possible that he may have given it all when he was in New Japan.
And right. He came over because he can work a safer style and he can work differently and less wear and tear on his body. That's why he came here.
Mm-hmm.
I think we just need to accept that from him at this point and go with it because every time we've done this for a year now since he's been up on the main roster, when are we going to get it from him?
Yeah. When are we going to see the real Shinsuke Nakamura?
And we don't get it. I think we're seeing what he is.
Yeah,
and the problem there is we know what we have seen, whereas a lot of the WWE crowd hasn't got a clue.
Well, see, a lot of us know what these indie wrestlers coming to WWE. We know what they can do. Prime example: Kevin Owens, packed pile driver. Need I say?
I know what I said. Yeah,
and. You know, and it is sad, you know, and I guess I have to come to the terms. It's like, crap. Well, can't expect New Japan Shinsuke no more. So, yeah.
Honestly, at this point, I think we were wrong to expect it in the first place.
No,
we got our own hopes way too high.
We did, but, you know, at least give us a little something at WrestleMania. A little something.
Well, it's like Matt in the chat room just said, getting old sucks. I'm not going to disagree with that.
So the finish, we saw Styles clash off the steps, and everyone went, holy shit, he dropped a foot.
It's 2 extra feet of height.
Holy shit.
2 extra feet.
2 extra feet. I mean, come on now.
He's done it from the middle rope before.
Yes,
come
he
on,
has.
Come on now. But the flying form through the announce table.
Beautiful.
After AJ kicked Shinsuke in the dick and she didn't want any more, he put him on the table and dropped him with a flying forearm. Throw it. Perfect finish. AJ retains the WWE Championship. Expected outcome after the news that came out over the weekend. And it's officially announced tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
AJ Styles, cover boy for WWE 2K19.
Oh, yeah.
That is why AJ Styles, your WWE champion.
Champion. Points. Yeah. Shinsuke and the finish was beautiful. Not the kick in the dick, but the phenomenal forearm, like, it couldn't have went perfectly. Thank God the table actually cooperated. It was just amazing. I liked that finish. Because it was like, oh God, please don't die. Please don't die. Okay, they didn't die. It was great.
Up next, the Raw Women's Championship is on the line. Nia Jax, Ronda Rousey. Nia's a powerhouse. Ronda is made for WWE. Anyone disagree?
How is she this good this fast?
Gentlemen,
She's really good.
We can rebuild her.
Naya's just not the opponent for Ronda. That's not who can bring out the best in her.
Mm-mm.
Like it's to show it's the type of match you book to show the toughness of Ronda Rousey that she can hang with this powerhouse.
Her selling was great.
Her selling was great. She busts out some good moves. The judo throw looked great.
It did.
Almost, Tim. Almost.
Okay.
Until she twisted her arm.
No.
She came close to dropping Naya on her head with that judo toss. That had scared the shit out of me watching it.
Also, Ronda had one issue.
Stumbled through the ropes. She wasn't supposed to go out the ropes.
Not that way.
Nope. She was supposed to stumble into the ropes, and she missed.
Yeah.
That little butt of hers, just kind of like right between.
Yeah. You can tell she's more used to a cage than three ropes.
Yep.
But if you take that away, Ronda was awesome.
You take it away, and the match was entertaining. It's like you said, this is just to prove that she can hang with the powerhouse. The real match is coming up at SummerSlam, and you guys know it. And this is where I went, oh, okay, that's why Money in the Bank.
So, Ronda pulled off the crossbody from the top rope, and her comeback, the fire up. Oh my god, that knee. That running right to the face was, oh, everything
sweet.
Everything worked. She went for the armbar, has it locked in, and then out of nowhere,
Kerschmackel
smacked with the briefcase goes Ronda, thanks to Alexa Bliss. Down she goes, disqualification, Ronda Rousey wins, and Alexa's not done. She whacks Nia Jax repeatedly. Then she goes back on to Ronda, just continues to whack her with the briefcase, and then she's thinking about it.
Ding, 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 ding.
Not there yet, because she goes back out and hits Ronda again with the briefcase to make sure she can't do anything. Gets back in, hits Nia in the arm one more time, and then it's like, alright, here we go. Here we go. We're cashing in. She drops her with the DDT. She goes to the top rope. You're looking. Is Ronda going to stop her? No, she doesn't. Twisted Bliss. 1, 2, 3. And new women's champion, Alexa Bliss.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Lindsay has to knock off this Money in the Bank voodoo bullshit. She cost me 3 times tonight. La 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 la. My champ lost two matches. I lost a shit ton of. I went into this night leading. I'm pretty sure I'm last now.
No, you're all right. You're
no, fucking, I'm still last by a mile. Don't worry about it.
Fucking God. How does she do that twice?
I had to have gained at least 15 points, though.
Oh, Omega, you only had one champion lose tonight.
She lost twice.
Oh, yeah, she lost twice. Yeah, that's bad.
Oh, right? Not. Oh,
yeah,
wait.
But.
Not.
Yeah, but.
Yeah.
Not too bad. You're all right. You're all right.
I lost points for Elias. I lost points for. No, Alexa cost me points for Becky and Nia twice.
2 out of 7 ain't bad.
You're all right.
Thanks to Alexa, Ronda won via DQ.
Tim's only positive of the night.
Only positive of my night tonight.
You had. Spoiler, Tim, total 4 points for the entire week.
Yeah, I know, I saw.
No, that includes tonight. You had total 4 points.
Oh, shit. You just wait, the big push is coming.
Oh, yeah, waiting on it. So, yeah, Alexa works as champion. Had to get off of Nia because it was not working. She's not the right opponent for Ronda. Alexa versus... Ronda at SummerSlam is going to be amazing.
I mean, I thought Nia worked fine as a champion, but they didn't know what to do with her. Like, okay, when she's if she's going for this body positive face image, that's good. That's inspiring. That actually works for a while. You immediately turn her into a bully. She just got done with the storyline about being a bully, and then she's just going to bully someone.
They changed that whole entire turn.
they changed it because. I hate to say it, it's like they changed it because of Ronda. They changed the entire flow of their women's division on Raw because of Ronda. They changed who the champion was. They changed Nia Jax's image. They changed everyone's pecking order.
Partly because of Ronda. Partly because they needed a big star on this show because there's a certain Universal Champion not around. That played a big factor, too.
Yeah, so some of our UFC gets actually stick around.
Jesus Christ.
But yeah, cash-in was perfect. It worked so well. Lexa as champion.
It's brilliant strategy not only to set up better matches for Ronda, it's also brilliant for what's coming up, because everyone thought if Raw won one belt, the SmackDown's gonna, or one, Raw won one briefcase, SmackDown's gonna win the other briefcase. All out the window.
Remember I made that point to you, right, Omega?
Uh-huh.
Saw how that played out. Speaking of which, it's the men's Money in the Bank, Kevin Owens, Bobby Roode, Braun Strowman, The Miz, Samoa Joe, Rusev. A member of the New Day, which was Kofi Kingston, and Finn Balor. Everyone piled letters on the Strowman. And then later in the match, Finn made a mistake of pulling one of those letters.
Oops.
And the monster awakes.
Well, just Kevin's eliminated.
I just love Finn's reaction. Why did it guess? Oops.
Oh.
I shouldn't have done that.
Rusev and Joe and Kevin were working together. They were putting Strowman on the ladder. Or on the table, telling Kevin, go up the ladder, go do a thing.
Oh, I kind of like that team, by the way. Just the three big bruisers on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Only two.
Formerly on SmackDown.
Only
yeah,
two of them are Kevin's on Raw.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. Anyway, Kevin goes.
But let's just stop and marvel and admit that nobody's got a holy shit on fuck face better than The Miz.
Oh, we'll get to that one.
Oh, yeah. We'll get there.
That's coming.
Okay, we're setting that up.
But first, we have to get to the part where Sami Zayn becomes a widow.
So Kevin is climbing reluctantly up that ladder, and then Braun gets up off the table, tosses the two men aside, and then Kevin's in trouble.
Uh-oh.
Jesus.
Braun climbs the ladder, and Kevin's starting to climb down, and Strowman grabs him and pulls him back up the ladder, and then chucks him off the 25-foot ladder. Right through it, the table.
And as soon as the podcast is over tonight, going all the way through Tuesday, we'll be keeping our eye on the internet wrestling news sheets to find out how dead Kevin Owens really is.
Poor guy.
Yeah, poor guy. This was great. Then it was the oh shit face from The Miz, because Braun's back.
No, that's not the oh shit face. It was Finn and Bobby Roode had the unfortunate timing of holding a ladder while Braun was on the charge.
That was so great.
Yeah, the charge. The breaking of the ladder.
His face.
I have to wonder how would they have marked the ladder so the guys would know which one to pick up?
I don't think they did.
It's probably the one that looks spray painted. Because I always look for that. Like, there's a silver spray painted wooden ladder amongst all of these.
And he legit said, like, 5 minutes before, where's the wooden ladder?
Where's the wooden ladder and who's going to go through it? I would have bet Braun, but not that way.
Not that way.
That was awesome.
Finn hit a nice coup de grace from the top of the ladder, from the outside, back into the ring on Bobby Roode. Uh-huh. Kofi and everyone, Rusev tried to do the triple accolade. He got the double, he tried for the triple.
Samoa Joe ruined our fun.
He ruined the fun.
All the fun.
Miz is climbing, Braun's climbing, Kofi's on the back of Braun. Miz gets dumped, Kofi just gets chucked off Braun's back.
Party over.
And Braun Strowman is Mr. Money in the Bank.
That spot did terrify me, because that ladder was barely holding balance, with Kofi and Braun on one side dangling off, and then just Finn on the other to keep the balance.
Almost not enough ballast on Finn's side. But I knew immediately that Kofi was going to be in trouble, and he's setting himself up for some kind of a spot. As soon as he unwrapped his legs from around Braun, you knew it was going to go down.
Yep. So in the end, Team Little Big had a big night. Braun Strowman with the Money in the Bank, Alexa Bliss, Money in the Bank, and new Raw Women's Champion.
Ba-dum-bum.
Overall, thoroughly entertained by 2/3 of the show.
Some of it, yeah.
2 out of 7 ain't bad, guys.
No, I'm pretty sure 2 out of 7 is actually bad.
Yeah. Anything you need to add, Tim? Want to go through the results of Pick'em?
I've got the Money in the Bank match results for Pick'em right in front of me. We're going to go in reverse order again here. Are you ready? Pay attention, kids. 16th place all alone was Match Gate Ball. 15th place all alone, Heartbreak Mike. Mike, you were 3-7.
Fuck.
Magic 8 Ball was 2-8. Tied for 12th spot, we've got Jenna, Rob, and Tommy C at 4-6. 11th place, all by yourself, Matt S at 5-4. Tied in 7th spot, Chris P, Linz, Michael, and Omega, 6-4.
Me and Lindsay have been tying all weekend.
Okay. And tied in 4th spot with 7-3, me, yours truly, Starscream Josh, and my buddy Casey. That's right, Kyle, I know you're listening. We all got 7-3 on this pick'em. And then there was a three-way tie for first place.
With who?
8-2 record. Subway, Sheila, and Rock.
Hey!
Cheater.
Right.
Anytime you do good, it's because you cheat.
So hey, I was last in, I think, pick'em on last night.
Tim, you're a promoter. You know if they cheat and don't get caught, they're not in trouble.
If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
But that's our show.
That's over and done with tonight. Tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, I guess they do a thing called the Raw Post Show.
It is the Raw Post Show every Monday at 11:10 p.m. Eastern, right here on Wild Talk Radio Network.
I don't know. Maybe sometimes shit happens on Tuesday, but I don't think something's happening this Tuesday.
No.
Okay. Well, then that means live. On Thursday.
Well, yeah, not live. Anyway, continue.
The multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rack Radio Show with your host, Lindsay Ward, returns to the airwaves. They're going to talk about shit.
Yeah, we are 2 weeks out of the six-year show. We're going to review Money in the Bank this Thursday night. You can also check out The Rack Extra Reviews, Total Bell Season 3, Episode 4, now available. Episode 5 will be available on Wednesday. It's The Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play. You know the drill. It's The Rack Radio Show.
There you go. And, of course, Saturday night, midnight-ish, or as close as we get to it, another edition of CB Radio.
Last night we did PC Games and the Great and the Great Debate. What are we doing this week? Nobody knows, because we really don't know yet. We're having a meeting on Tuesday. So check out CB Radio every Saturday night, midnight, at CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter, and CBRadioLive.com, GreatandTheGreatDebate.com, hashtag Blame Rob when a celebrity dies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of plug time. You know what? You can follow the Wild Talk Radio Network on the Twitter machines at Wild Talk Radio. Check out the Facebook pages, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, facebook.com/groups/Wild Talk Radio Network. WTR Sunday Night on the Twitter machines at WTR Sunday Night. On Facebook at facebook.com/WTR Sunday Night. Follow me on Twitter. At Flames Forums, if you want to get a little bit controversial and shit like that, follow my new Twitter, which would be at Voice Insanity. No holds barred, pull no punches, no bullshit allowed. Uncensored. And I think that it's time to pass the plug torch.
Omega, go. Because, Jesus.
If you want to find me elsewhere on the internet, it is easy to find me. I go by one name just about everywhere else, unless you want to follow me over on Facebook. In that case, search for TJ Reviews. However, everywhere else, you can find me under the name TJ Omega. That is the Twitter handle where I'm usually active every day. That is the YouTube channel where most of my content lives. And that is the website, tjomega.net, for content that lives elsewhere on the interwebs besides YouTube.
All right. Okay. And then if anybody, you know, wants to probably add the black guy, fuck the revival, you can add me on the WTI Oreo, to hell with the revival. And, you know, and we can... Actually, what am I doing? What am I going to do this week? Actually, I'm going to actually do something this week, which is hilarious. I'm going to do something. We're probably going to do some AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura, New Japan Pro Wrestling. Yeah. And back to you.
Make sure you follow us on Twitch, twitch.tv/WTR Live, so when you know when we go live with any of our content at any time during the week.
Amazing that you call yourself a twit. That's impressive. Hey, everybody. Next really? Sunday night, we're back to regular time, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, for another edition of WTR Sunday Night.
If you can't see the money, get your eyes clean with Visine. I need five things for seven digits at a time. See, I'm cheering, chilling. The best, never worse. See, we never get the pebbles, they got the rocks first. Big folks, I'm locking. Ching, ching, we're mocking. I'm rocking. My family Christmas stockings are shocking. Fine women, any weather. Naughty denim and leather. Call it chicken, whatever. Sunday get better. I'm one smart cookie, the vet that smacks rookies. My stock's on top, your checks bounce while mine's booking. Wrist, I must rock it. Chick, stop it, I knock it. Gas looks like I got a gang of fists in my pocket. Fist in my fist.
WildTalkRadio.com.